Welcome to CUTV News Radio, where our hosts Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters talk to today's top thinkers from all around the world to bring you information, inspiration, and thought-provoking ideas that you can put to use in your personal or professional life right now. Covering a broad range of topics, we dig deep to discover what makes today's top thinkers tick. CUTV News Radio, it's the show where ideas matter. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
Good afternoon, everyone. We are broadcasting live worldwide on CUTV News Radio. This is your host, Jim Masters. A pleasure to have you with us today as we showcase and celebrate. And we have an opportunity to provide connections to our incredible guest experts that we seek out and find, our CUTV News team seeks out and finds, and we celebrate here on our daily broadcasts. Multiple episodes every day of incredible, uplifting, and thought-provoking, stimulating conversations on CUTV News Radio Live globally. We also record the shows, too. So right now, as we are broadcasting live around the world on CUTV News Radio, we are also recording the show for our archives. So you'll be able to hear this broadcast again as many times as you wish on our websites at CUTV News, as well as our guests' sites, and also on iTunes and on Stitcher. So we make it available to everybody on multi-platforms here on CUTV News, which is a service of CUTV News Radio, is a service of CUTV News. So thank you again for joining us and making us a part of your day. Today we're going to talk about something that I really think every single one of us, myself, our guest, listeners, everybody, from time to time has dealt with and been faced with and have really thought about over the course of the years, whether you're a child, teenager, full-grown adult, whatever it may be. Self-worth is a really good topic today. Self-worth is defined as the sense of one's own value or worth as a person. It's our ability to place value on who we are as an individual. Now, we are living in a society where everybody is sort of trying to emulate others, celebrities, athletes, people they see on social media, and sometimes that gets in the way of you living your own life and tapping into who you are and offering what your talents are and your perspective is. And it just seems to be the world we're in now, the world of selfies, yet at the same time, a lot of people are posting a lot of selfies, but they don't really have much self-worth. I mean, a beautiful picture of you that is photoshopped and filtered and posted on the internet may look nice, but then when the hoopla of that is over, you look in the mirror and you're like, well, who am I? And that's happening to a lot of people. All of our decisions, how we conduct ourselves, how we communicate, really comes from that place of self-worth. Unfortunately, many people have had their self-worth damaged while growing up. You know, they move through life feeling as though there is something wrong with them. It could have been a parent. It could have been a friend. It could have been anybody who maybe just perhaps, you know, maybe there was bullying, just really lowered your value in yourself, or at least the self-perceived. And Lori Davis, our very special guest, is a self-worth expert. Now, she mentors others to achieve higher levels of personal worthiness. She is the creator of Self-Worth, The Missing Link, which is a self-esteem and confidence-building program for adults, teens, and young children. First developed in 1997, Self-Worth, The Missing Link, has been translated into French, Chinese, Spanish, and German. And Lori says she educates individuals to reclaim their self-worth and self-esteem, help build confidence, and develop more effective communication skills. Can be done. If you're listening to us right now and you're like, I can't do this, it can be done. It's successfully done. And Lori Davis mentors others to show them how it can be done. So stick with us. Listen to the show. You're going to get some great advice. You're going to get some great information. I'm going to mention this website right now. We'll mention it again during the course of the show. This is a website that's very important for you or a loved one or friend, and it's selfworththemissinglink.com. That's selfworththemissinglink.com. That is the website to check all of this out that we're going to be talking about on today's show. Let's welcome direct from Alberta, Canada, wonderful Canada, our friends to the north, Laurie Davis, self-worth expert. Laurie, thank you so very much for joining us here live on CUTV News Radio. It's an honor to have you with us today. Welcome.
Well, thank you. My pleasure to be here, indeed.
Let's talk about what inspired you to want to do this work. What is it about self-esteem, confidence building, self-worth, placing value on oneself in terms of just offering things to the world? What is it about this that triggered an inspirational pursuit for you to want to do this kind of work in mentoring others? Was this something that you've battled with over the years yourself and then said, look, I got through it, I know how to handle this, and then wanted to show others the way?
Well, I think it's a combination of all of that, Jim. Growing up, I certainly had my own incidents and situations that stole my own personal self-worth, that's for sure. I didn't recognize that at the time. But in 1984, my very young husband decided to take his own life, and he was 34, and he wasn't your typical person that you would assume would do something like that. But that happened, and I know I had an epiphany, if you will, or a wake-up call at that time, which lay dormant, actually, for many years after that. But after working with people for about 25 years, as a teacher and as a marketing person, I realized, you know, there's some common threads amongst all of us. One, most of us are walking around feeling like there's something wrong with us. Two, we lack confidence. We don't know how to show up and shine. And three, poor, poor communication skills in our relationships. So I just decided I'd like to do something about that. I'm not a counselor. I'm not a psychologist, but I'm an educator. And I thought, wow, you know, this is really common regardless of a person's background. And then I realized that suicide itself knows no boundaries. It could be, you know, someone who's destitute, and it could be a celebrity and everyone in between, right? So that started it. And in 97, I created the first round of workshops to support and help people to take it back, reclaim it, because we came with it.
Absolutely. And it's a beautiful thing that you've done. You've turned something that happened within your own life into a positive thing, just in terms of being able to take the experience, work it within your own narrative, your own life's journey, and then give back, show others, mentor others. They might not be dealing with a situation where somebody in their family did commit suicide, but there are many other things that they deal
mm-hmm.
with that can
mm-hmm.
easily cause them to blame themselves and lower mm-hmm. self-esteem and things of that nature. So the mm-hmm. program that you created, which is a terrific, terrific name, Self-Worth, The Missing Link, tell us how you created that name. Where did that come from? Was it something that took, you know, a lot of thought to mm-hmm. really wrestle with, or was it something that one day, here's the name, an aha moment?
Well, it came in stages, actually, because years ago I used to do a presentation called Empowering Our Youth, The Missing Link. And I found that old document here not too long ago, and I thought, wow, like there's a connect. But typically and conventionally, when people are having problems, so let's say they're drinking or they have an addiction, or our conventional mental health system generally works on the behaviors. You know, let's get him to stop drinking, works on the symptoms. And, of course, my belief is that these are all responses to things that have happened to us along the way. So, you know, I bury my pain in the alcohol, or I'm an overachiever, or I'm a, you know, we mentioned it, perfectionist. We all choose something different in order to hide the shame or cover it up or let it make it look like everything's okay. So for me, it wasn't really about working in that arena. It's more about why, the why. You know, why am I drinking? Why am I not functional? Why am I such an overachiever? And it's really not what we do, it's why we're doing it. So I'm coming in from a different perspective, and I know that self-worth is very seldom mentioned or connected to those symptoms. But that's a symptom of low self-worth or no self-worth when we do things to hurt ourselves. And, you know, if I love myself and I place value on myself, I'm never going to hurt myself or do things to hurt myself. So we started with, why don't we help people with the why? What happened? What happened? And when I get phone calls from parents wanting me to work with their teen because the teen is all of a sudden off the rails, my first question is, what happened? So self-worth to me is directly linked to all of that. And so if we can support people on the front end, reclaiming their self-worth, getting it back up to snuff, even in our children and our teens, then to me that's the prevention side, which is where we should be investing our time and money, rather than on the symptoms and having some guy have to go to rehab 7 times.
That's exactly right, absolutely.
Does that make
oftentimes
sense?
We treat symptoms without treating the underlying problem, and we are living in an overprescribed society. You know, people are turning to things to numb mm-hmm. and to just take their mind away without dealing with mm-hmm. what is really going on, which could stem all the way back, as I mentioned in the introduction, to childhood, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Usually, by about the time that we're around 3 or 4, we begin to make decisions about our value. You know, am I special in the family? Do I matter? Am I important? And that begins like even early, as early as that. And then if you have experiences on top of that, like if you're, you know, molested or you had drugs in the home or, you know, there was not enough food, whatever those situations are, they all impact the self-worth, and then it just diminishes and diminishes. You know, so by the time we finished high school, we're pretty well cleaned up out of it. You know, we don't, and then we go outside of ourselves looking for it. So I've got this hole in there. Maybe a new truck would make it better, or a renovated kitchen, or the good look, you know, always having to look perfect. And there's all kinds of places that people go looking for it, and it cannot be found outside of ourselves. It must be rebuilt from the inside out.
That's right, absolutely. So how do you define self-worth?
Well, for me personally, it has been, you know, when somebody comes to the planet with a new message, that can meet up with a lot of resistance. So for me, you know, I did a lot of work on myself. I spent a lot of money on myself, seeking out the right people. But when it came to the self-worth component, in 1997, there were not any books. I couldn't find a paper that had ever been written about it, and basically had to do my own research and development work. So in that process, you know, my self-worth grew. But for me, it's being able to maintain that value, knowing that I'm okay when people around you are screaming that you're not. You know, that's when you know that you have actually got that intact. Because as soon as you decide, some people confuse it with being arrogant or conceited or thinking highly of yourself. It's none of those things. It's about placing value on yourself every single day, knowing that you're worthy. That's why I like the word self-worth rather than the word self-esteem, which means the exact same thing. But knowing that I matter and that I make a difference, even if it's just in one person's life every day, we all have it. It's in there. We came with it. It's just under the cobwebs, and those cobwebs need to be cleaned up and cleared out, and there it is. You know, it's like a little 3-year-old girl if she comes into the room and everybody says, "Wow, you're so beautiful," and she'll put her little hand on her hip and she'll go, "I know," because she's not yet disconnected herself from her self-worth. I know that, right?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
How is self-worth different from self-esteem? I think people often intermingle those two, blend them together, and assume they're one and the same. How do you define what the differences are between self-worth and self-esteem?
Well, you know, self-esteem became a buzzword in the late 80s, early 90s, and it was all about that, you know, self-esteem, having self-esteem, holding yourself in high esteem, And I think the confusion there is that is where people felt that it was a form of arrogance or conceitedness. Self-worth to me depicts worthiness. You're worth it, being worthy. I think it's more specific as it relates to people conducting themselves in a way that supports their self-worth. Everyone has value. And isn't it amazing, Jim, how some people can tell you how valuable you are and how worthy you are, but it's the individual doesn't believe it. So regardless of our experience with other people, it's something that we must create and master for ourselves first. You know, someone can tell you 100 times how smart you are, but if you don't think you are and believe you are, that's a self-worth issue.
Absolutely. Absolutely it is. You're right. I think in the earlier years, a lot of people with self-esteem, they were getting confused with self-worth. It can really be a blur for people. So that's why it's great you're able to break it out and define it for people. Why do you prefer, if you could elaborate, self-worth as a descriptor more than self-esteem? You touched upon it, but is there any other reason why that is just... is it the wording itself, too, that sounds different to you?
Well, I know that when I was working on developing the programs, self-esteem was used to describe the following. The tagline to that was feeling good about yourself. Self-esteem is feeling good about yourself. Well, you know, Jim, in the darkest hours of my life, when I... You know, I didn't drink. I didn't even have liquor to my lips until this happened with my husband. And I'd gone to the doctor, and I'd said, look, I can't sleep and this and that. And for a year after, I was a sufferer of post-traumatic stress disorder. I was in bed for a year, and the only thing in my fridge was a box of Hochtaler wine. I'm not allowed to use brand names, but and a loaf of bread. And this was my diet because I didn't feel like cooking. But I'll tell you what, when I drank that bottle of wine, I felt really good about myself. Well, is that self-esteem? I don't think so. So for me, self-worth is more than feeling good about yourself. Self-worth is knowing you have value and that you make a difference. And I think those are the two biggest pieces to that. Does that help?
Absolutely. Yeah, mm-hmm. It really, really does. So we talked about your interest in self-worth and your desire to pursue your passion as you've done so beautifully. Let's talk about the actual program that you offer. Again, for folks tuning in, we're talking to educator and self-worth expert Lori Davis, and she has an incredible program that has been developed and it's been around since 1997. And the program really is... very, very encouraging because it's called Self-Worth, The Missing Link, which is a self-esteem and confidence-building program for really all ages. Let's talk more about the program itself. Somebody listening to our show right now and they're saying, okay, well, what is this about? What kind of program is this? What happens? What do I experience? What can I possibly get out of this? And what do I need to do to participate in it? Tell us a little bit about that.
I started with 10 workshops, and to me, the magic of what we do is the delivery system. So the 10 workshops, an hour a week, people would come to my little office, and I started with two friends to test it, and it grew from there. In 2002, we embraced voice technology, so now people can actually take the program from their home anywhere in the world. The program has a workbook, and there's 10 topics, and then there's another 10 topics, and another 10, and another 10. So there's actually 40 workshops in the process. We didn't get here overnight, and it takes time for us to be able to embrace the concepts that we deliver, have people think about it, implement it. For me, implementation and application is key. a lot of times people go to workshops or seminars and they get all fired up and then they go home and then it disappears. And that's because the implementation opportunities were not available at the time that you learned the concept. So we have facilitators who've been certified to deliver the program. We don't put more than 6 people in a workshop. So when you come online through your computer or by your phone, it's a facilitator with no more than 6 clients. We separate men and women because men process information differently. So in that core program, we set it up that way. So people immediately can experience the success. So each week there's a different topic. So maybe this week we're going to talk about success. What is that? What does it look like? How does it feel? Who do you know? Another week we might talk about forgiveness, how the 6 steps to forgiveness, how you actually let yourself off the hook and others for things that have happened. So there are 40 topics, and it's almost a 1-year process. People love the program. They feel and experience the results. It's cost effective. We've had whole families in the program. Does that help?
Absolutely. Yeah. Let's talk about children, too. You want to talk a little bit about children and the importance of something like this developing early in life for children. I mean, it sounds very, very important to start them young, understanding their self-worth so they don't lose it or fail to even develop it, because there's so much that goes on. They have so much coming at them, so much information and pressure.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we used to talk years ago about peer pressure. If you didn't wear the right jeans mm-hmm. that everybody else wore, or the right shirt or sneakers, it's a whole other world now with cyberbullying and just the way
mm-hmm.
things are handled. They're much more longer lasting, sometimes violent. I mean, there's a lot of things involved. So for children, how would you say the program is different for children? And if you can describe it for us so maybe we can sort of visualize it in a way.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's interesting because I have what I call a teens program or a preteens program, and it's the exact same topics as the adult program. It's just the workbooks are formatted differently. And right now I have, I'm working with some little girls, 9 to 12, and I'm working with some boys, 12 to 14. And their big deal is, you know, how to handle the bullying. So we actually, when you have your self-worth intact and you have some tools and techniques that you can actually use, we show them how to change that situation and turn it around. Because when I know how to place that value on myself, what a bully says to me basically falls on deaf ears. It's how children react to that that creates the problems for them, and they start to spiral down and feel badly about themselves.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's right.
And that's
absolutely.
Just one situation. And in 1999, I interviewed 100 12-year-olds and asked them what their greatest fear was. And they made lists. They made big lists on chart paper and so on, because this was before I developed my youth program. I did my research with, you know, okay, guys, what's the greatest challenge for a 12-year-old? And you know what, Jim? Across the board, their largest fear was losing a parent, either to divorce, separation, or death.
Yeah.
That's a huge, and you know today with everything going on with marriages and so on, lots of kids are in that situation.
Yes.
And that just kills their self-worth right there. My dad would rather not be here with me. He would rather leave than be here with me or my mom. It's a big self-esteem buster, self-worth buster.
And they blame themselves. Is there something that I did or they don't care about me anymore?
Course.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not important.
Reason. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
mm-hmm.
for really any age, what would you say then, Lori, is the first step to developing a healthy self-worth? What do we need to do?
Well, it's really, I would like to, if I was to integrate self-worth with another word, it would be self-love, love of oneself.
Yeah.
And
mm-hmm.
people will say to us, well, you know, it's important that you love yourself. Well, I don't ever remember either of my parents sitting me down and saying, now, honey, you know what, when the you know what hits the fan, here's how you continue to love yourself and know that you're okay. We didn't get that instruction. So we actually have a little program called The Art of Loving Myself, and it's a little workbook that we've put together to support people just in that place of, and then from there, going to connecting that to the self-worth. I have a little mantra that I share with all of my clients, regardless of how old they are. I'm perfect. I came here perfectly. It's just that my situations haven't always been perfect. And helping people to separate their circumstances from themselves. So, you know, if I have something bad happen or a tragedy, lots of times growing up, it had absolutely nothing to do with me. You know, the day that my family member molested me at 12, that had nothing to do with me. But children don't have a filter, so we take everything in. There's no, well, that's good for me, I think I'll keep that. Well, that's not good for me, I think I'll just not bring that in, because we're like little sponges, and we don't have a filter, and we're impacted by everything that happens. So just helping kids, teens, adults, men and women, we've had, you know, my youngest client has been 6, my eldest client has been 82, and everything in between.
Yeah.
And just starting very basically with that concept that, you know, I was created, you know, I have a divinely created, and I'm a miracle, and I'm here for a reason, and start showing and experiencing that for people.
Beautifully said. We've unbelievable. This show is almost wrapped. I can't believe how quickly it's going. We've got less than 3 minutes. But in a nutshell, what would you say a healthy, you know, self-worth looks like? How does it present?
Well, my last hurdle, which was the most difficult, and I still am challenged by it, is not to be offended. Can you imagine, Jim, what the world would
that's
be like
that's a tough
if...
one.
I know, but just imagine if nobody got offended.
Yeah.
In a family, just even if we start with our family. So that was my last hurdle, though. But, you know, people with high self-worth, do they struggle? Of course. Do I struggle? Absolutely. Do I have challenges? Of course. But what really sets me off is when other people try to make me feel badly about myself because they're offended and they're going to make it about me.
Right, and because maybe they're struggling with self-worth issues
and
things of that nature, where they can
absolutely
be the assistance of a Lori Davis. Well, I want to get to that website again because in researching and preparation for the show, I was perusing all of that during the week, and it is a terrific website, folks. I encourage you to go to it and connect with our very special guest, educator and self-worth expert, Lori Davis. And the website is selfworththemissinglink.com. That's selfworththemissinglink.com. Lori, thank you so very much for joining us here on CU TV News Radio. A real honor and pleasure. Hope we get a chance to chat some more, maybe some testimonials, some more great success stories as you help people come to terms with self-worth and help them tap into it and maybe even resurrect it. Wonderful stories you've shared with us. We really appreciate it, and we wish you continued success, and thanks for being on the show today.
Thank you very much. My pleasure.
Our very special guest, Lori Davis. Thank you for joining us as well, everybody. I'm Jim Masters. For everybody here at CU TV News Radio, thank you so much for joining us, and we wish
you
a terrific day.
CU TV News Radio. If you want to learn more about our programming or perhaps be considered for a future show, visit us on the web at www.cutvnews.com. And if you enjoyed listening to today's show, subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or Stitcher, and be sure to write a review. Thanks for listening, and from all of us at CU TV News Radio, we hope you have a productive and inspired day.